Buddy Green and friends, rock in a weary land. It's 13 and a half after the hour on a Broken Road Radio. Tuesday morning, I'm Jim Park, Dave Donald Punch in the newsroom, and joining us now from Ohio, Joy Jones. And I'm sorry, Joy, I forgot the town of Ohio. Where are you in Ohio?
I live in Lexington.
Lexington, Ohio.
Yes.
Is that, that's not near Lexington, Kentucky, is it?
No, not at all.
No, okay. not sister cities then. No, okay.
No.
Well, see, I'm from Cincinnati, so I'm trying to picture where Lexington is then.
We're just south of Mansfield. We're about halfway between Cleveland and Columbus.
Okay. Well, thank you. That helps a lot. Now I know. A couple of landmarks in Ohio. And Joy is with the Malawi Orphan Care Project. And Joy, we're just thrilled to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the project itself. How long has it been around? And where is it based? And what's going on now with it?
The project, Kanyenya Orphan Care Ministries is the nonprofit organization in Malawi that we partner with, and they have been around since 2005. I was fortunate enough to be able to visit Malawi in 2002, and one of the interpreters that we used with our group, actually I kept in contact with all of our interpreters, but one of them contacted me in 2005 and said, I have been asked to help start this orphan project. We've been going, about 6 to 9 months, but we've run out of money. We have a severe drought going on. We just can't feed these kids anymore. We have about 125 kids that we feed. Can you help us? And I brought that to my church, which is First English Lutheran Church in Mansfield, Ohio. And they rose to the occasion, collected a little over $3,000, and we sent that to Malawi so that they could have, it was right at the beginning of their planting season, so that way they could have seed and fertilizer and get that going, and then they also had money for food. And then we prayerfully decided to continue that ministry, that we weren't just going to give them a one-time donation and leave them on their own, but we wanted to do it in a different kind of way. We didn't want to be people that just gave money, or people that gave money and told them what to do with it, because in their culture is very different than ours. And so we know Shadrach and his wife, and we trust them immensely, and they have surrounded themselves with very reputable people there, and very knowledgeable people. And so we trust the board of the Kanyenya Orphan Care Ministry to make the decisions to make wise decisions with the money that we send over. And that was in 2005, and it was a ministry of our church for several years. And then last year we filled out the paperwork to become a nonprofit organization, just because it was growing and we felt like there were other churches and individuals who might like to be able to help us.
Now, what do you mean by growing? How do you know it was growing?
Well, they started with 125 children, and then in the time that we're working with them, that was up to 250 and even more. And we just knew that there was so much more that could happen, and we just didn't have the resources to help accomplish everything that could be done there.
So you went to other churches in the area?
Well, actually, we just started to form a nonprofit organization and got our website up and have gone to different gatherings where there are other nonprofit organizations and people have heard about us and decided, yeah, this is something that I would really like to be a part of. And so now we have, a church in Minnesota, one in Wisconsin, two here in Ohio, and we're talking right now with a church in Canada about joining us. And then we also have individuals all over the country who send money to help the orphans.
This has got to be passionate work for you, with all those children depending on you.
Yeah, it is. I just love it. I can't explain that enough. But now there are up to 300 registered orphans, and then they feed 350 to 400. They will not turn away any orphan that comes.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you been there yourself?
Yes, I have been to the Orphan Project 3 times. I've been to Malawi 4 times.
What did you see when you get there?
Extreme poverty. Malawi is one of the poorest countries in the world, one of the 10 poorest. And but at the same time, even though they're extremely poor, they are extremely giving and open and warm and welcoming. As my husband puts it, Malawi is relationship rich and resource poor. But we here in the States tend to be resource rich and not as relationship rich. We're a little bit more relationship poor. They know how to have relationships and they know how to make people feel welcome. And it's just very different.
Well, you know, we used to be that way here, I think.
Yes.
I wonder if wealth is what changes that.
That could be. That's a possibility.
David, you had a question.
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering, why is Malawi one of the poorest nations in the world? They're surrounded by other nations or other countries that are not as poor.
Unfortunately, they do not have much in the way of resources that they can sell to other countries. They don't have diamonds. They don't have gold. They're only just now starting to find a few things that they might be able to do. They primarily export tea, coffee, and things like that.
Are they very tribal there, like they are in other parts of Africa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You said they export tea and they export some other products. There's obviously no industry at all.
No, not really.
Huh.
And Malawi as a country has only been independent since 1964, I believe it is.
Right.
And so they're still growing. They're still trying to figure this all out. Fortunately, they are a democratic country. They have a democratic parliament. But the first president that they had decided to be president for a long, long time. And so since then, they have instituted you can only be president for 2 5-year terms. And they are on their third president since, actually their fourth, because the third president died in office. So it was his vice president who took over.
Joyce Banda. And she's been reelected as the she's the president the second time.
No, not yet. They have elections next May.
Oh, okay.
And she is running for reelection.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, Hastings Banda, and coincidentally, it's not the same name, or it's not the same family.
Right.
It's just a coincidence that.
Jones or Smith in the United States. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The country before, let's see, they were, before they gained full independence, Nyasaland?
Yes.
And it was a part of the Central African Federation I'm trying to think of, who were they governed before that?
They were a colony of England, of Great Britain.
Of Great Britain, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, like Rhodesia.
Okay. And I can't help but wonder, too, if they're not the product of warfare. I mean, after the colonialists left, a lot of areas of Africa had no infrastructure, no way to manage things themselves, no standing armies, no control, and it was kind of up for grabs. Has Malawi had a violent history or a relatively peaceful history?
They have had a very peaceful history, yes. So thankfully they have not gone through that.
Are orphans a particularly acute problem in Malawi, more so than in neighboring areas?
They are. Malawi is a country of approximately 15 million people, and of that 15 million people, at least a million are HIV positive, at least a million of those people are orphans, and they are orphaned primarily because of AIDS, but sometimes it's just lack of medical care. But right now in Malawi, they have a missing generation. Many, many grandparents are raising their grandchildren because their own children are dead. But in Malawi, it's very interesting. They are such a they like their relationships and their culture so much that they do not want to send orphans to an orphanage. So they have orphan projects where the children are able to come to get food. A registered orphan at the Kanyenyeva Orphan Care Ministries. If they're in high school, they're usually able to attend high school. I don't know of any that haven't been able to attend high school. High school in Malawi is not free, so you have to pay for it. and most orphans cannot afford to go.
This is an important distinction then, because I pictured an orphanage, and you're saying it's not. These are orphan projects where the kids come to be maybe fed, school?
Yes.
Okay.
They come for feeding. They also come for Bible lessons. They come just to be kids. They have a place to play there. Otherwise, when they're at their home, they're very busy gathering water, gathering firewood for food, for cooking, and just doing the activities of daily living.
I've noticed from the pictures and also from earlier discussions, and maybe I should explain that my wife Carol and I are considering going on a mission trip in July of next year to Malawi. And we're going through the beginning stages and applications and talking about it and discussing it and raising money and all the rest of that. And one of the things that we keep coming back to is, what are we going to do? Specifically, what are we going to do? And by the nature of this particular project, the what we're going to do can't be like other orphanages because they don't have an orphanage. And you have an orphan project group of the kids come in to be fed and taught, and then they go back to their grandparents' home or wherever, and life goes on. Are there buildings on the grounds? Are there gathering places? Are there communal kitchens? I know that the group that went last year built a well, but it doesn't seem like there's any permanent structures, and maybe that's what. I don't know that that's necessarily a need or a want, is it?
They do have a few permanent structures there. One of them is the meeting hall. That was built a few years ago. And also a few years ago, or actually last year, they built the kitchen, which is an outdoor kitchen. A kitchen with a shelter on it, which is very unusual because in the rainy season, they were unable to feed the kids because they would just have fires on the ground that they would cook over. And so now in the rainy season, they can still feed the children because they have a roof over where they're cooking now. Mm. So they have those two buildings. They also have a chicken coop because we were able to get a grant from Friends of Malawi to start a chicken and egg business. They sell the eggs there. People come to the Orphan Project to purchase eggs. And then twice a month, the children get a half an egg with their meal, which is huge because last summer was the first time that some of those children ever had an egg. Their diet is so poor.
Which I'm sure is a part of the reason that they're not able to, get more involved in international commerce. Is it diet related?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear everything you said.
I'm not sure. It was a real well-formed question.
Now. Okay. I'm thinking that any agricultural kind of a culture tends to be close to the land and tight-knit people. And that's where you talk about being relationship rich and resource poor. That seems to be the nature of that. What will it take to raise the standard of living for Malawi generally? What is it that they need?
That is a very good question. And I'm not sure I have the answer for that.
Yeah, it could be expertise. I mean, money's probably part of it. But again, just sending money seems kind of futile. We do that to so many areas. I mean, Americans are the biggest givers in the world. And I think a lot of that money goes to ends up in the wrong place.
Right.
And food resources end up in the wrong place. So now we're talking about, through the Malawi Orphan Care Project, sending people. What would people do once they arrived? Is it simply a learning project for them? Because to me, if you're going to a foreign country, it's really a two-way thing. You come back better for it, and hopefully you leave them better in some way. How would visitors from this country, through your project, leave them better?
That's a very good question. There's one woman there, her name is Maya Esnat, and she is one of the leaders. She herself has had 13 children, and all of her children have died. And so she is now raising some of her grandchildren, not all of them. And she is someone who is a leader in the community and a leader at the Orphan Project. And she told us last year that she was not sure when we first started to come that it was going to work to mix the colors, the black and the white. Because when she was younger, that's when when the English were there, and she would run away from the English, and we reminded her of that, and that was not good. But over the years since we've been coming, and we come back and we form these relationships, and it's not just a one-time thing, she has learned that we can work together, and we don't try to impose our ideas on them. We talk to them and find out, what is it that we can do to help you? One of the big things that they want to do is become financially independent. And so we have helped them to form a few different businesses. And they are in charge of those businesses, and they do a great job with those businesses. They're doing quite well. Partly because of a business where they make bracelets, the women make bracelets there, and they send them here to the States and we sell them. We're able to sponsor 31 children to go to high school.
What other businesses, Joy?
Well, the chicken and egg business. One thing that they started on their own, which is absolutely wonderful, they started a garden, and they use the food to feed the children, but then any food that's left over, the women that tend the garden are able to sell that to people in their community, and then they earn a little bit of money that way.
Where are the men in this culture?
Many of the men are either dead of AIDS, or they have moved to the city to try to get a job, and then they send money back to their families.
So they're not a presence at home?
Not a lot. There are some men that are at the Orphan Project. There are two that are very influential in the Orphan Project. One of them is the man that takes care of the chickens, and another one is just somebody who has a leading role in feeding the children and things like that.
I'm just wondering if there weren't more strong backs at home, if they couldn't fend for themselves just through agriculture. Is it a fertile place? Is it easy to grow things there? Is it desert? What's the landscape like?
It is not terribly fertile, and so that is a problem. They rely heavily on fertilizer, and unfortunately, sometimes they don't use the correct fertilizer. That's something that we're learning, that many of the people there have used the wrong fertilizer. Another problem is that they rely heavily on corn, and corn is not something that is native to Malawi, and so that corn is just depleting their soil. So one thing that a few other organizations that we work with have done is try to introduce foods that are much more native to Malawi, and that won't deplete the soil so much, and that have more nutrients in them than what the corn does. And the people are very hesitant to do that because they are so poor, and they know that they can get some nutrition from the corn. But then once they see this working, usually a garden like this would take 3 years for other people to say, oh, that really might work, and I might be able to use this food. So it's a very slow process to change things. Because they're so poor, they just like to stick with what they know.
So in recruiting people to go over on these trips then, would you be looking for maybe specific kinds of expertise that they could bring with them, whether it's in agriculture or construction or whatever, maybe medicine, healthcare? Are you looking for specific people or just bodies to go over there and do what?
Yes. We are looking for specific people. We're looking at in 2015 to have a medical mission go over. But at the same time, we know that the Orphan Project would love to have people with specific sports knowledge. The boys play soccer. It's called football there. And the girls play netball, and they would love to have like sports camps for the kids. We have several teachers going over this coming summer, and they plan on doing a lot of education type things with them, especially relating to English, because once you get to high school, most of your classes are taught in English. They start to teach them English in elementary school. And so all of the kids can understand some. They can't always say the English words, but they understand usually what we're talking about. And this year, we're probably going to be doing something a little bit different. We usually don't try to take people over to do any construction, because we want to be able, when we do construction, we want to be able to help the local economy. So we want to pay their
gotcha. You don't want to replace their labor. Yes. Good, yes. Good point. Yeah.
But this coming summer, we're thinking about looking at some of the individual houses that the women live in and seeing if there's anything that might need patching or something like that, and having some of the people that come this summer mm-hmm. do some of that little bit of fixing stuff instead of building a huge structure.
Do they have a national sport, like maybe soccer?
Soccer,
okay.
Yes.
Well, the idea occurs to me, and I just saw some of this yesterday watching football games on TV here. There are schools who turn their athletes out into the community to help with what they can do. And sometimes it's construction, but sometimes it's taking care of kids and orphans in this country. What if you were able to get, say, a high school soccer team to go over off season and play soccer with them, teach them soccer, start a soccer program there? And you know, this is just pie in the sky maybe now, but maybe a tack that hasn't been thought of before. But I think you'd find some very willing people, and some people you talk about knowledge of sports and ability to play and know the rules and can organize leagues. I wonder if that would be fertile ground for you to explore.
I think that's a great idea. One of the things that I've thought of for in the future, because right now we're still a young organization, having just officially formed last year, we're still going through a few growing pains and wanting to getting all our ducks in line. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we have thought of is contacting like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and seeing if there's somebody college age or professional who might be willing to go over. Mm-hmm. But I love the idea, too, of the high school team. I hadn't thought of that.
Well, that's a way they build unity with their own team. And they're concerned with community in many cases. And I think that would be a good for everybody involved. David, you've got your frontal lobe is starting to swell. I know you've got a question there.
Well, you know, my son-in-law is involved in volunteer soccer. He's a volunteer coach for his daughter's teams. And you know, I was just thinking of some of the fundamentals that he teaches the girls, and how involved that they've gotten in that. And you know, I've gone to a couple of their matches, and there are hundreds of people. I mean, and that's not including the teams. That show up for these things, and they're all grandparents and parents, but there are a lot of adults involved in the program, training and teaching the kids, and I've seen as many as five or six, you know, volunteer coaches be attached to a given team, but helping individual groups of kids in different positions. And, you know, that's the sort of thing I think we're thinking about.
And, of course, I wonder if girls would play soccer over there. I would think so. Joy, what do you know about that? Do girls participate on the same way as boys?
I've seen them play a little bit, but they much prefer netball to soccer.
Okay. Oh, just thinking, another possibility is we need to put you in touch with Opportunity International, who's been on the air with us here before, and we'll be talking to them toward the end of this week, too. They have, I know, a center of operations in Malawi. They do a lot of work there. Their business is starting businesses, finding entrepreneurs, local entrepreneurs, and helping to fund them. And people here make small contributions, $5, $10, and they've been around for a couple of decades now and are looking to be very successful at doing this. And, of course, as you mentioned, when you employ the locals and you give them something productive to do and furnish them an income, you build the whole community.
Yes,
And that's kind of bootstrapping at its best. So I think we need to get you in touch with those people, too. So
yeah, that would be wonderful.
We're talking go ahead.
I was going to ask, and it sounds like I've already got the answer. Joy, you've never met the people from Opportunity International?
I have not, no.
Okay. All right. Okay. I always get the idea that when you talk about Malawi and you look on a map and it's very small and compared to the rest of the continent, it's got to be maybe a couple of miles across and it's 6 or 7 miles tall. It's about the size of Okinawa. Well, it's obviously much bigger than that.
Yeah. It's approximately the same land size as Pennsylvania, just shaped a little differently.
Wow. Okay. So it is quite a bit bigger.
Well, listen, we'll be talking. The plan is to talk to Mary Sabin of Opportunity International later this week, and we'll see if we can get you two connected. And if you want to learn more about them in advance, you can link to them from our website, from Broken Road Radio. Joy. Okay. And there's an opportunity national link there. And sounds like you got a super organization growing, and I think Opportunity International might have some suggestions for you, maybe actually some physical, maybe even some financial help, depending upon how they view the whole picture there in Malawi. But I think that might be a very productive relationship. We're talking with Joy Jones of the Malawi Orphan Care Project. She's in Lexington, Ohio. And Joy, it's been a delight. Thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I've enjoyed it very much.
I have one more question, Joy.
David always gets the last question here.
And as the morning progresses, I think I'll have thousands of questions. But, you know, you'll be gone, but that's neither here nor there. And one of the things that we had a meeting on Sunday about with our minister, Paul Mattson, who was over in Malawi last year or the year before, and he worked on the well. And one of the people asked or said something about this is particularly a Christian nation. And he says, well, sort of, but every night you'll hear the cry to prayers from the local Islamic groups. Is religion an issue there?
I'm not sure what you mean by an issue, but it is primarily a Christian nation. There's a subset of Muslims, but they just happen to make a lot of noise out in public, you know, at certain times when it's times for the call to prayer. Approximately, I would say at least 90% of the people consider themselves Christians. Sometimes they mix in some local religion along with that, but it is primarily a Christian nation. One of their presidents, I don't remember which one, sorry, was a Muslim. And so he really tried to help the Muslims get more foothold in Malawi. Mm-hmm. And so it is much more acceptable now to be a Muslim than what it was, you know, 10 years ago.
Are you aware of any opposition because of your church affiliations then? Or not a problem?
Not a problem. Good. One interesting thing is the well that was dug last year at the Orphan Project. The Orphan Project welcomes anyone and everyone to come use that well. About a half a mile, maybe a mile at the most, away is a well on Muslim land, and you have to be Muslim to use that well, and no one goes there. Mm-hmm. So it speaks volumes for just Christianity and the acceptance of, you know, we don't care if you're Muslim or Christian or no religion, you may use this water.
Mm-hmm. Interesting point.
One final thought, you know, at this moment, but you know, like I say, there's going to be a couple of final thoughts all through the rest of the day. Are you looking for other partners, other Christian churches, other churches, other organizations to join in the effort to help out or not?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, what kind of outreach are you doing?
Currently, we are not doing a lot. Because as I said earlier, we really want to get ourselves organized and, you know exactly what we're doing before we try to expand too much. So currently it's just word of mouth and people hear about what we're doing and it's like, they want to be a part of it.
Hmm. Well, Joy, certainly we wish you well and anything we can do to help, we're more than willing to do that.
And, well, thank you so much.
Maybe putting you in touch with some of the people we know can be assistance. And of course, we'll send Dave over there. And he'll get things up and running for you just fine, huh, David?
I was thinking I was going to start a radio station.
Hey, there you go.
That'd be great.
Joy Jones of the Malawi Orphan Care Project from Lexington, Ohio this morning. Joy, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joy.